Okay.
We're going to start chapter 43. It's on page 122. Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. Perek Mem Gimel. So we just went through to Brachim talking about the fact that it's critical for a mitzvah performance, it's critical that there be a musag, an idea of yira. Loosely translated, translated as fear. More accurate translation in this context is awe. Now, we talked about entry-level yira, which is, I don't want to get clobbered. Like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his Talmidim that your fear should be like the fear of a human being, that nobody should catch me, nobody should see me. And then there's something called Yiri Ila. Begin to Rav Vishale Tikr Vishash Duchalamand. Yiri Ila is an off of the Rebbeinu Shalom in that he is the root and the source. He is the master. So he's going to get a little bit deeper into this now. Vine. Al Yira Tatazu. He said that a prerequisite. Remember, if you remember, he said that back in Perek Mem Aleph that fear and love are two gadfin, they're two wings that allow the mitzvah to ascend. So, Yira is a prerequisite for a mitzvah to be done correctly. So Yira Tatozu, this lower form of awe, Shulikia Mitzvah Sav Yisbarach, which is required in order for a person to serve properly in the fulfillment of mitzvahs, whether it is Bibchina Sur Meira, whether it means that we veer away from evil, or Vaasei Toiv, or that we are motivated to do what we need to do, Amru about this, the Mishnah says, Im Ein Yira Ein Chochma. If there is no fear, there cannot be wisdom. But yet the Mishnah says, "Im ein chachma ein yira." If there's no wisdom, there can't be fear. Now, to me, that says, "Close your books and go home." Im ein yira ein chachma. If there's no fear, there's no wisdom. And im ein chachma ein yira. If there's no wisdom, there's no fear. So that means there's no place to start. There's no place to finish. So we give up, right? So what? Obviously, there must be that we're talking about a different type of chachma, a different type of yira, because you have to start somewhere. So how does this work? So about this level of fear, meaning entry-level fear, about that, Chazal say, im ein yira ein chachma, if there is no fear, there is no wisdom. Okay? And he explains. V'yesh ba b'chinas katnus, b'chinas gadlus. Within this yira itself, there is a lower level and a higher level. Dehainu, that is to say, Kishinim Shech has Pchinis Yirzu, Meizbainin is Bigdulas Hashem. If the person's feeling of awe is the result of the actual fascinating concept that people have the ability to be Mizbainin, that people can actually contemplate an idea and really think about it until that idea actually impacts their emotions. We do have the ability to do that. We can actually ponder something to the point where it brings us to an emotion of awe. Okay? Give me an example. What would it take to create some real impression, some real impact? So he says, Mizbein and his Bigdudas Hashem, contemplating the greatness of Hashem. That what? The Iyu Mimali Kalamin, that the Rebbeinu Shalom suffuses all existence. How much? Well, Umei Ha'aretz L'Rekia Mahalach Tov Kuf Shana. From earth to reach the heavens would take 500 years. It's fascinating because you see now today they're talking about how long it takes the light from the stars to reach, give us the points, and the fact that it takes, you know, millions of years even for the light to reach here, and therefore it has to be that in creation itself, that creation had to have been so many billions of years ago, because even if Hashem would have created it, the light still wouldn't be here yet, because they're so far away, and all that kind of narishkeit. So, like, Hashem couldn't have figured out, if he was able to figure out how to create a world in 7 days, he couldn't figure out how to get the light here?
There's other problems.
Right.
Who says the speed of light is constant?
that's the other theory, that it's not that fluctuates as well. I measured it once, it's for sure not. That's why I don't change light bulbs. I know that it's not constant. Now, so you start from the Aretz L'Rakia, it takes 500 years. Ubein Rakia L'Rakia, and then we know that in between each Rakia and the other Rakia is even more than that. And Ragli Achias Kedeged Kulam, and the legs of the Malachim called the Chayas are bigger than all the Mahalchim. And all of those Malachim sing Kedusha, meaning we're talking about such wild levels of impact of greatness. That if a person begins to think about the legions of angels that stand and are Mishores HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what's more, V'chein Yishtal Shalas Kalei Lomis. If we just think about the process that the Arizal describes of the chain effect that allows the worlds to come into existence, L'may L'may L'adur M'may L'adur, heaven upon heaven upon heaven, to the highest of heavens, and it makes the U.S. tax code look like a joke. Afal Pikein. So by contemplating all of that greatness, and by the way, you want to take even a lower level of something more tangible. The Rambam writes that a person should go out and ponder the beauty of nature. Right? You got now, it's spring, it's summer. You look at each blossom, each flower. They have these magnificent flowers. They last 6-7 hours and they fall off. Their entire existence is one spurt of Shira that they get to sing. I mean, there are so many ways for a person to comprehend and to apply this idea, even if we don't have the deep levels of the Kabbalistic depths of understanding of Seder Shtal Shlis and so on. But on the simplest level, just to look at a Bria, to look at creation itself.
Rabbi Miller does that.
Yeah. Did that. He's still speaking. But, despite all that, Afal Pike Nikri Yirizu Yirichitzainis Vitato. All of that stuff, all contemplation, all of that is external Yira. Vitata, and it is low, meaning it's a lower form of Yira. Why? It says very simple. Because Vinishdvi, all of that thought, all of that contemplating, is about stuff that our minds can grasp. And you can be sure of one thing, that if we have any idea about it, it's very, very external. We're not getting into the Rebbeinu Shlomo's essence or anything close to God. We're seeing the furthest out external manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that extend all the way into the physical world. So clearly we're dealing with very, very outer garments, if you want to borrow a term. Okay? Very external. This world, or any of the worlds, are but levushim, they're garments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do we call them garments? Because Hashem mistatir u'mis'alam. What's the purpose of a garment? The purpose of a garment, Baruch Hashem, is to conceal what we have underneath them. So too, we use this term by vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates is a concealment of his essence, of his real presence. Umistater, umisalem, he conceals himself, he hides himself, umislabish, and he clothes himself, lehachyoisom ulikaimom, to give them life and existence, liyois yeshmiayin, on a moment-to-moment basis, to give them the ability to become something out of nothing. What gives anything its existence? Again, in Shai Yichud Ramuni, he goes into this in great depth. But what allows anything to exist? What brings it at this moment into existence? If not the emanation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that gives it its form, that gives it its substance. So how are we identifying God? By something that he's creating now. That's the only tool we have. Right? But it's totally external. We're looking at an out, completely outer manifestation that would be saying, like, Picasso exists. How do you know? Because I'm looking at his painting. You're ignoring Picasso. That's what we're doing with God. We're looking at the Bria. We're looking at creation. We're looking at a flower. And you want to be profound? You're looking at Olam Atzilus. It's no different than a flower. It's an emanation. It's a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? But, despite that, rock, Shehi Hasharva Pesach Likiyam HaTorah HaMitzvos. You gotta know that that is the gate, the opening, that allows us to fulfill Torah and Mitzvahs properly. Okay? So that level of Yira is the entry point, is the gateway. And that's why the Rambam encourages people to do it. Because that becomes the gate that moves a person to say, I must serve that Ribbono Shel Olam. Right, we have all of Pesukah de Zimra is about creation. It's all about the Ribbono Shel Olam's world. And it's the lead up to Shema. It's what causes us to want to embrace and acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's all about. Pesukah de Zimra, by the way, is that section that gets skipped between before Berachas Kriya Shema.
So the person doesn't. Obviously he's looking at the plant wrong.
If what?
If this is true, A should be to C. Right? So if a person looks at it and doesn't go to the next step, he's obviously looking at that plant in the wrong perspective.
Correct. Maybe it's just shallow vision. It's, you know, you're eating supper and you don't thank your wife. So that's Yiratato. Yiratato is being defined as the entryway which is required for a person to properly fulfill Torah mitzvahs. Ah. Hayira ilo. Now let's define, if that's yira tato, I think that's pretty good. But what's yira ilo? What's a higher form of yira? Yira boishes. It's defined as awe of shame. Now, not shame in the sense, shame that I did something wrong. Shame in the sense of how insignificant one is. B'yira pnimius, it's an inner fear. Shinimsheches mepnimius halikus shebetoich ha'ilomus. It is that yira which is the result of, it's the product of, the internal godliness that exists in all the ilomus. Allah amru, about that level of yira, it says, imein chachma in yira. If there is no wisdom, there cannot be that yira. And he explains. The chachma, this term chachma, now we define it as wisdom, right? Chachma in all the Sifrim Kabbalah, in all the Kabbalistic works, is broken down into two words. Koyach ma, the power of ma, of nothingness. Ve'achachma, as the Pasuk says, me'ayin timatzeh, real chachma comes from nothingness. Ve'ezu chacham. So he defines it. He says the Mishnah defines it for us. This is phenomenal. Ve'ezu chacham. Who is a wise man? Harayas anoylad. He who sees. Somebody translate.
What's created? Or what will be the future? I mean,
generally, the world translates. Right? The person who can see the future. But that's not the translation of noylad. That's yulad. That which will be born. Yivaleid, maybe. Neilad means that which was born already. Who's a chacham? Somebody who sees neilad. Well, what do you mean? We all see neilads all over the place. Says the Baltanya Pirish Shiroya Koldover Eich neilad. It's a person who looks at everything and says, this cannot be as it appears. It can't be just as it appears. Rather, how did this thing come into existence? How does this thing come into existence from nothingness? It comes into existence bidvar Hashem. It comes into existence because Hashem spoke, let there be, let there be, let there be, and all these things come into existence.
With the word of Hashem,
and the wind, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Pasuk says, with the wind of his mouth, all everything comes into existence. And if that's the case,
Hashemayim
Step number one is that the world is a levush. The world is a sign. There must be a creator. Step number two is that the world doesn't exist. It's nothing but an emanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spoken word. All it is, the entire substance of anything that exists, is the Asara Mamoros, are the 10 statements with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu not created the world, but is creating right now. That's all that exists. And therefore, v'chol tzivah, b'teilim b'metzius mamash, the world and everything in it is completely and totally nullified. B'dvar Hashem v'rachbiv u'kaloi mamash chashivah. They occupy no level of importance. V'ayin v'efes mamash, they're so nothingness. K'bitul ur v'ziv Hashemesh b'guf Hashemesh atzma. Like the rays of the sun, there's two places where you can see the rays of the sun. You can see the rays of the sun as they appear on your porch. Right? And then there's the rays of the sun when the rays of the sun are in the ball of the sun. Now, what is the significance of the ray of the sun while it's connected, while it's still in the ball of the sun? Absolutely nothing. Compared to the ball of the sun, it's mamish nothingness. Right? Here, we still have an appreciation for it because we only have sunlight, 12 days of the year. But in the ball of the sun, where it's burning up, the ray of the sun has no value, no substance, no importance. That's how we need to look at every emanation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's the ray of the sun in the sun. What significance does it occupy? And by the way, we always look external to ourselves, he says. This refers to us too. We're part of this nothingness scheme. Shigam gufay v'nafshay v'ruchay v'nishmasay. Our body, our soul, our spirit. Aneshama b'teilim b'metzius b'dvar Hashem. We, when you compare it to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we too are of no significance. V'diburi yisbroch miyuchet b'machshavto k'nispal le'el perikof v'chafalof. Like we discussed there, where if you were to take a person, he says, Barichos b'derech mashal. On to the next page. Min nefesh ha'adam. Like, let's take the soul of a person. Shedibarech et medibure machshavto k'loim mamish chshiv. He said over there, take the spoken word of any human being. Okay, how many words are we going to speak in our lifetime? Millions of millions of words, right? Now, those words, compared to the person's neshama that's speaking the words, how much significance does any one word have? Ridiculous. Nothing, right? It's by comparison. Now, and our neshamas are limited. We have a few years here. Well, you're dealing with an eternal God, and you're dealing with the words that he spoke to bring the world into existence. What significance do those words have to a Rebbeinu Shlomo who exists forever? How significant are they? How significant can they be? This, about this level, it says, that this Yiras Hashem hi Chachma. Now, the word Yira shares a common source with a word which is virtually identical. And that's Yira, right? Re'ia. A person who sees things correctly, who has vision of seeing the world the way it really is going to experience awe. And anybody who looks at what we're talking about will, by definition, live a life of awe. It's only because most of us, thank God, are living in tremendous distraction that we don't see the world in clear terms. And as a result, we go about our days thinking that this world, that it's what we're walking around in the fog. We're looking at the movie screen thinking that the screen is reality, where there's only one reality, and that is that this world is an emanation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're operating in this projection that's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That clarity of vision is Chachma. And here is the clincher. Ach yev shel hasig li yir ve chokhma zu Ela b'kiyum ha-Torah v'ha-Mitzvos. It's impossible for a person to come to this second level of vision of reality. It's impossible other than through the fulfillment of Torah Mitzvah. Ayde yira tatoa chitzoynis, which was preceded by the first yira. Okay? Now, Zeshiksiv, this is the second statement the Chazal make, imein yira ein chachma. If there's no fear, there's no wisdom.
So that chachma is Torah, which then leads to
Torah Mitzvah. Well, what's he saying here? Take, Rabbi Elkan explains it like this. Take a stone, take a rock, and you throw it up. So somebody's going to say, wow, that's a flying rock. Now, the minute that the energy that you put into propelling the rock upwards ceases, what happens? Unless you're in outer space.
So gravity kicks in.
Gravity is going to kick in, and the rock is going to come crashing down. Right? Would you say that that was a flying rock, or would you say it was a normal rock that was flying because there was an opposite koyach? The normal rock falls. This rock was going up because there was a davar chitzoni that was piled on the rock to go the opposite direction, right? Clearly, that's what's going on. It's not a flying rock. Rocks don't fly. Although, if you were up at 1:30 last night, you heard some rocks flying. But they were flying this way. What's the yisayt? The yisayt is like this. We, in our distorted vision, see existence as having stature. Right? This exists. Everything, this is tangible. It exists, right? This is a flying rock. It doesn't exist. It requires a anti-natural effort to bring something into existence. The minute that that anti-effort of the rock going up disappears, the rock comes crashing down, we need to look at all existence in the world in the same way. Nothing exists were not for the fact that there is an exerted effort right now bringing everything into existence. To me, this made it tangible for me, this mashal with the rock. Because it took the effort out of, what is he talking about? Pashtus leaving everything the way it is, nothing exists. You want something to exist, something has to make it exist right now. What's making it exist? Dvar Hashem. But it has to be each and every second. This be'etzim, there's this machlekes, goes back to the Rishon, Hashgacha Pratis, right? Whether it's Hashgacha Pratis, Hashgacha Klolos, I have no idea what the words mean. Because if nothing exists without the Dvar Hashem that's giving it its existence this very second, right? How can a blade of grass exist were it not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating it every moment in its given place, every single split second? And that's true about everything in the world. So everything, by definition, if we understand the concept of Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasa, that everything is only here because of the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's giving it its existence, then Hashgacha Pratis, it has to be a natural outcome. There's no way that any of us ended up in this moment, in this place, were it not for the Hashgacha that made it happen. How else can it be? Now, where's the place where this is hardest to grasp? In the world where things look the most independent, right? See, we imagine that in the place where the angels hang out, we would hope that it's a more godly place, right? They have lesser problems with, same-gender marriages up there. I don't know. You would hope that there's just, morality is not as is hard to come by in the world where there's explicit open godliness, right? The more megushim, the more independent the world can look, the greater challenge we have to morality. That's just how I would have to imagine it. I mean, none of us are insane to the point where we stick our head into fire, right? So, Elamai, what's going on when we do things wrong? What's going on is, for those moments, we're living in denial. We're not acknowledging Bidvar Hashem Shemayim now. So we're not acknowledging that right now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating all of the tools that we are utilizing against Hashem. We're not sick. We're stupid. That's why Chazal say, "Ein adam chayt adam ken nichnas by ruach shtus." A person sins only when they're overcome by temporary insanity. What's the nature of that insanity? The nature of that insanity is we don't see the evidence clearly before our eyes that the rock's crashing down. That it's Hashem is mamish literally creating this at the second.
So then ruach shtus is also the image.
That's right. That's why there's kindness. No, but there's kindness in judgment because here's the.
No, I hear you. I'm just saying at the same time that the shtos is the image.
What's bechira?
Right, you're
going to
bring that in, but I'm saying,
Conor,
what you're saying.
That's
awesome.
There's no, I want to bring up one very, very edel and akuda. He says that where we could come to entry-level yira, even awe of God existence, by contemplating the Bria, by contemplating, say, the Shtal Shalos and all those cool things. But this second level of total bittul to Hashem requires Torah and Mitzvahs to come to. What's up with that? I would like to suggest, and maybe he's going to say this, that it's the danger of having learned the Sefer before and not remembering what he's going to say. Rav Rubam, the vast majority of Torah and Mitzvahs involves Dvarim Gashmir, involves physical things. Right? You look through Torah and Mitzvahs, we have a very physical religion. Lots of stuff. Lots of things. Right? Even the Ruchniyastika Torah that we learn is 99% about agriculture, about
money,
about Lulav and Esrog, about, you know, go through the Masechta, go through Shas, about say, the Noshim, the Chulin, and about animals and body parts, and all. It's all about Gashmias. So even Ruchniyas, Alamai, you want to talk about Kabbalah, so Kabbalah is about Tvam Ruchniyam. But the vast majority of Torah mitzvahs is about Gashmias. The only way we can live in a Olam Gashmi, in a physical world, and see the physical world, as he's saying, with this complete bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is when we touch the world with godliness. Meaning, the goal, if you will, as he said earlier, that there's going to come a time, Minigla Kavod Hashem, Hashem's presence is going to be obvious in the world. Well, how is that going to happen? That's what our avodah is. That's what we're doing here. We're here, we're in the mission of revelation. That's what we're on this world to do. Okay? How do we do that? We take leather straps and we tie them to our arm and to our head. Well, we take wool of tzitzis and we put the strands of tzitzis on them. And so on. We take a bottle of wine and we make kiddush and lecha mishnah and every bracha we make and so on and so forth. What we are doing is the world is proclaiming itself as being independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes the Jew in utilizing the world in Torah mitzvahs and reveals that there's nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he says, it's impossible for a person to come to this deeper level of Yireh without Kiyum HaMitzvahs through the entry level of Yira. Meaning, Torah Mitzvahs itself isn't going to do it. He says that explicitly. Look at the third line here. Beginning at the end of the second line. Ach i'efshel ha'asib li'yira v'chachmazu. A person cannot attain this level of Yira or this chachma. Koyach ma?
el b'kiyum ha-Torah v'mitzvahs, unless he fulfills Torah mitzvahs, with the caveat of al yidei yirat ha-Torah chitzonius. It's not just mitzvah performance. It's mitzvah performance with the introduction of his benenus, of the fact that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam creates the world and the some level of Kabbalah's oil of understanding, the accepting upon ourselves the yoke of Hashem's dominion over the world. And then Torah mitzvahs can so have this effect on it. So it goes, Imein Yira and Chachma, that goes to the Chachma. Imein Chachma and Yira, that'll take us to the deeper level of Yira Ilah. And I think that's why it's Torah and mitzvahs dafka. Torah and mitzvahs gashmias. That will launch a person into a place where this becomes a reality. He brings a great story here. I get the guy's names. Every Lubavitcher story comes, you know, they have the name, they have the guy's birthday, social security number, they have, you know, all the details. So Rabbi Avrom Landoy, who was rabbi in the city of Zembin, came to the Tzemach Tzedek, third Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he was waiting to go into Yechidus to the Tzemach Tzedek. And there in the outer room, he sees a young man who's dressed in very modern clothing. You can see he was a wealthy guy. He was dressed well. And he was troubled by what the guy was doing. It didn't look like he was very much into the Ruchnius. So he got into a conversation with him. He said, what are you doing here? So he said, I didn't come here for Gashmis. I didn't come here for Ruchnius. He said, he's a chayker. He's a philosopher. And he has been learning Chassidus to get into, you know, Chabad philosophy is very intriguing. But he's having a great deal of trouble with the concept that he's learning Chassidus, that the entire world is nullified vis-a-vis the Eir Hashem that's giving it its kiyum. So he doesn't understand, how is it possible? Lamaisa, we see there's a world. You're claiming it's nothing but an emanation. And I'm feeling the crass realization, the reality that there's a world. Supposed to, you know, what are you saying? How can you say it's nothing? So this Rabbi Avram, who was a Dehoi ben Chosid, said to him, you know, I've also been learning Chassidus. I have a similar question to ask the Rebbe. He says, I'm having trouble. How is it that we could see a world when it's so clear that there's nothing but an emanation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
It's so bad.
Right? So they go in together. So he says, so we both have a similar question. Let's go in and ask the Rebbe together. And they went in. I don't understand what his answer was. But it's so, you know, the question is just so phrased so well, because you know you could see that a person who comes, they all bring, and many of the Tzvarim, that tzaddikim before their death stop seeing the world in its physical manifestation, and they taka see it in the diburim. They see the letters that bring it into existence, right? The way he saw the letters, Isis Parchus. All right, so we'll take it up from here. Now, next week we get into the Ahava. Into the love aspect of it. Next week, we'll still be here. I'll be back even in 2 weeks, right? The wedding is what day of the week? Huh?